Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to. Courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Episode of Educating Josh, in which the three of us, Lucy Bella-Earl, James O'Neill, and I, Luke Cutforth, bring together three of the most divisive stories of the week. Our wonderful Josh Winslade will have 20 seconds to respond with his gut feeling on the story with absolutely no research, after which we will have an attempt at Educating Josh. Make sure you stick around to the end for the quick fire round with some of your questions from social media. Don't forget to follow us at Educating Josh on all socials, subscribe, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. Guys, we're back together again. I'm so excited.
We are in this together.
I have to say, listening to last week's episode was one of the most stressful things I've ever done in my whole life.
Yeah, I was so angry.
Was it that bad?
I was so angry the whole time.
But not only was Lucy taking my job, which obviously, as a man, I was very emasculated by. No, it was more just like I kept having to pause it and like have arguments and debates with my friends who were with me, which is how I guess every single listener of this podcast feels every single week. So I'm so sorry.
We're very, very sorry.
Okay, so in our polls last week, Hannah started off with the question, are environmental issues more important than the needs of disabled people? We had a fairly short audience with 75% no. Now,
I think it's a pretty short audience.
Solar Luna asked on Twitter, why would you even ask such a horrible question, as if the needs of disabled people are the one and only reason for environmental issues, and as if banning straws would magically save us all? Now, you guys were here last week, Lucy and Josh. How did you feel about the response to Hannah's story?
I think it was really interesting. I think a lot of people responded who didn't actually listen
to the podcast.
So that was slightly frustrating, but I had some really good debates with people about it and like responding to the Twitter comments. I think the main thing is that people were quite upset that it even was a question, or that it seemed slightly more biased toward against disabled people, and that wasn't true at all. It was as unbiased and as equally on both sides as you can get in relevance to the story that was discussed on the podcast. So I can understand why people took it that way. I agree with them in some part, but you know, listen to the podcast.
And the thing basically was they were annoyed that we were asking the question because it feels like a bad question, but that question is genuinely being asked.
I want to is that the government have put environmental issues over the needs of disabled people by proposing this ban without conferring with the needs and about the needs with disabled people. So that's what they're doing. Why can't we ask that question and hold them to account? It 100% needs to be asked.
All right, Lucy, how did your poll perform?
So I asked whether companies should be penalised for destroying usable products.
Penalise the companies.
I'm so happy with this result. 82% of people said yes, they should be penalised.
Including, you convinced Josh on this one as well, didn't you?
Not really. Okay. No, I don't think they should be penalised for burning. I think they should be penalised for having made that much waste in the first place.
Okay, very
which
true.
Which I agree with.
Well, somebody on Twitter called that guy with the coloured hair, which use your
that
actual
was me
name.
For about a year.
Is that James?
actually disagreed with us, saying they paid for the materials, they paid for the labour, they pay to stock the products. Why should you have any say on what they do with their own product when you haven't contributed a penny to any of that?
Which actually advocates my point, which is the fact that we have a limited amount of resources, so penalise them for wastage, not for what they decide to do with it.
All right, fantastic. And James, would you be able to take Leah's story from last week, please?
Yes, last week Leah asked, should the public have the right to 3D print guns at home?
No one responded to my call to arms.
I think we have quite a responsible audience because 90%...
No, we don't. 8% said yes.
Well, 8%
I'm not happy with our audience right now.
90% of people said
90%
no.
is not enough. 8% said yes. I'm so disappointed.
Well, as was Perry. Perry said on Twitter, I'm surprised this isn't unanimous. It couldn't be more obviously a ridiculously
Perry,
dangerous
Perry, I
idea.
Completely agree. I think that 8%... I think we've basically just done a poll on trying to figure out the percentage of trolls on Twitter.
So
going off the back of this poll, we now know that 8% of Twitter is trolls.
I think we got retweeted onto like 8%. 8% of that was like conservative Americans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who love 3D printing guns.
Love 3D printing.
Well, it's time to get on
that
with the show.
That was just Donald Trump on various different platforms and various different accounts.
Okay. Do you think Trump has time for that?
Really?
Okay, yeah.
No. To be fair, he doesn't. He's golfing
too. Melania, you need to vote on this poll.
All right. Well, it's time for the stories of this week. We'll start with James's story.
My story this week comes from the BBC. Supreme Court backs agreed end-of-life decisions. Josh, these are the three things you need to know. The Supreme Court has ruled that legal permission will no longer be needed to withdraw treatment from patients in a permanent vegetative state. It will now be easier to withdraw food and liquid to allow such patients to die across the UK. When families and doctors are in agreement, medical staff will be able to remove feeding tubes without applying to the Court of Protection. Relatives who have faced the court process in the past said that the ruling will help families dealing with a tragic situation. However, anti-assisted dying campaigners said vegetative patients are effectively going to be starved and dehydrated to death. My question to you, Josh, is should families have the right to end a loved one's life?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, they should. Not like that, though. I think I agree with the anti-assisted dying campaigners. A little bit. I don't think... Like, how do you know they can't feel or experience?
That's the thing that I was finding uncomfortable.
This is really weird.
They're basically starving them to death. And just because they're in a vegetative state where they can't move their arms or respond to things doesn't mean they're not going to enjoy or not going to not enjoy starving to death, which is horrible.
If they're able to experience it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
That was the biggest surprise for me as well. I didn't know that they just starved them and dehydrated them to death. I do
or
think...
Or remove treatment as well.
Or remove treatment.
So hang on. What you're saying is...
before you could withdraw treatment, people have withdrawn treatment. They've still not died because they're on a drip for food and water, yes, and they've stayed alive. I don't think you should have the right to do that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's where we disagree.
Because that means they're functioning without assistance, apart from the fact
except
that...
Except for the food.
For the food and water, yeah.
But they're in an unresponsive state.
Still, it is still assistance. I mean, this is a really hard one because I think you have to have been in a similar situation. My grandfather, he passed away from motor neurons disease. Basically, his lungs filled with liquid. He wasn't capable of clearing his lungs himself. And there's a bunch of other things that happen. And he was allowed to pass away quite naturally. Not in that he wasn't given permission. He basically signed a DNR and they stopped emptying his lungs. They came to a decision.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's a very painful way to pass, though. Like, we had to, as he went, my mum and her sisters were kind of watching him in pain as he passed. He actually regained some consciousness at one point and panicked, didn't like what was going on.
Oh, wow.
And then lost consciousness. It was a really traumatic experience. Mm. They tried to pull it, but then couldn't do anything about it. So I agree that this is it's probably the hardest decision you'll ever make in your life.
This is a desperate decision.
Yeah.
It's not to be taken lightly. And if a family of a loved one are actually at the point where they want to help them go.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean,
I think yes, even though I disagree with the idea of it being food and water, how arrogant would I have to be to believe that my romanticizing of someone dying has not been more traumatic than that loved person, mm-hmm. if that makes sense? That mother, that father, that sister, that brother, that daughter or son or whatever is thinking what I'm thinking 10 times worse. Of course they're going to be. Sure. So why does my dislike of it have any more importance than what they've obviously processed and thought?
Sure. And I think what you were saying, Lucy, about how it's such a horrible situation for people to be going through. I think the thing I struggle with this in the same way as you, Josh.
Yeah.
But the part for me that sticks with me is the court. You have to go through a legal process in order to let someone go.
Yeah.
And what is probably going to be one of the most horrible experiences of your life, having to put together a court document and go and see a court
to let my loved one die.
Like, that's a horrible thing to go.
What I'd really like to know is that because it was put in to safeguard and to for moral reasons or what people thought were correct ethical reasons, or is it because of just a technicality of law? Because the law "thou shalt not kill" exists. Well, that's the religious law, but because you can't kill, it's illegal to kill. Is that the only reason this process exists?
No, it will be to prevent people dying without it being perfectly proven because there is still a person
that's responsible for the death, and technically they will have broken the law. So maybe it's just them trying to undo.
Well, it may not be an either or thing. It may not be
a bit of both.
It may be a bit of both. It may be an in between. It's like these two reasons are the reason.
Yeah, but it is essentially that it exists. It is they're essentially what I think you're saying, Josh. Is you get the court's permission so that you then can't be held liable for murder or manslaughter
because of how it exists.
Through negligence.
Mm-hmm. To avoid any backlash. I think the way it's written on paper and the way the press have gone about this makes it seem quite shocking, like dehydration and starvation. That sounds awful, but these people are in a permanently unresponsive state.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we don't know if they can feel things, but there's probably a very high chance that they can't.
But I think I'd much rather have, if you're going to have a situation where you're allowed to let someone die, I'd rather you let them die in a way like they do at Dignitas, with some kind of injection rather than
which is still very unpleasant.
Yeah, and that is where it gets to a point of like
also what about
laws.
What about what does that do to someone's organs that could be used to save someone else? What does starving someone do to the viability of organs? And
well, I would say that probably doing the injection probably does.
It probably does affect your organs.
There's more damage. You're talking about press though, and again, they're kind of like using all these trigger words
and
things like that.
And it's worked on Twitter. You've fallen for it.
Yeah, it was even like something completely irrelevant, right? Love Island today. There was a story in the Daily Mail, the Daily Star, one of those two, and it basically said Danny Dyer breaks his silence over his daughter's exit. That was last night. There's no silence to break. You're just reporting on it the next morning.
In bed.
He was just in bed, woke up and talked about it. There's no long silence to break. Like
breaks the silence.
Like, the way they are reporting is ridiculous. And yeah, it just definitely sounds like they're using, nasty, bigger words to make it more dramatic.
I mean, there are arguments against this, which I can kind of see. People are saying that doctors might use this to free up beds and to cut costs, and they might have a list of names that they would want to kind of persuade the family.
Surely it takes longer. Surely it takes longer than an injection for them to pass away from.
No, it's not the injection. It's as opposed to not doing this.
She means, like, if you're keeping this vegetative state person alive indefinitely because you don't want to let them die, you're taking up a bed, you're taking up a lot of resources of money to have nurses on looking after them. And so Lucy's sort of saying that, I assume, if I've read you right.
Oh, please give it a go.
I am assuming that what she's saying is doctors may start to strategically target families where they're like, well, we need to convince the family to just let them go in a way.
Oh, I mean, that person shouldn't be a doctor then.
The court.
Well, the thing is, but there are doctors like that.
I don't agree
with this point of view, but I think it's worth bringing up because I know that
maybe
other
not
people
doctors
out there
either.
Think
maybe management,
that.
Maybe higher ups. We have to remember this is even more relevant in our country.
They still need the family sign off. They can't.
Yeah, they have to be in agreement. But what happens if a doctor puts more effort into persuading a family?
No doctor has ever been able to convince my mum about my treatment. She knows what she wants, and she's.
I don't think that a doctor trying to free up a bed for somebody who's not going to come back is necessarily inherently evil, because they could be trying to free up that bed for somebody else who does have a chance of coming back. All right, well, you can let us know what you think over on Twitter in our polls at Educating Josh. It's time for the second story of the week. That's my story. Josh, my story this week comes from Time, and it is Swedish woman temporarily stops deportation of Afghan man by refusing to sit down on a plane. Here are the three things you need to know. The plane was flying out of Gothenburg, Sweden, and appeared to be headed to Istanbul, according to the video. There was an Afghan man on board who was being deported due to a failed attempt to seek asylum. By refusing to sit down, the student, who live-streamed the protest on Facebook, ensured that the plane was unable to take off. Quote, "I'm trying to change my country's rules," Ersin responded to somebody who asked why she was delaying the plane. "It's not right to send someone back to hell," she said. However, some believe that Gothenburg's airport authorities have sent out a very loud welcome to other protesters. If it is really that easy for a student on social media to have an asylum seeker removed from a plane, how attractive must it be to others to head to the nearest Swedish airport and stage their own stand-up protest? Josh, my question is, was it right that a protester was able to stop the deportation of an illegal immigrant? 20 seconds, go.
No, I think it was quite selfish.
I think it was selfish?
Yeah.
Of who? Of the girl?
Of her. I think it's really selfish.
How is it selfish?
How is it selfish?
It's literally the most selfless thing.
Okay, what if there was a heart going to Istanbul and she didn't know?
Well, yes, okay. But then maybe would someone stand up and go, but I've got this heart.
Still.
Top secret heart.
Okay, but assuming there wasn't a top secret heart, why is it selfish?
It's completely... For that reason. Not assuming, because there could very much easily have been, and other reasons like that. I think you have to assume. That's why it's selfish. Like, you... I don't know.
It's not,
I think,
selfish. She's not doing selfish. It for her own reason. She's doing it to help another person.
Okay. I don't know. Like, he was still deported then, I assume.
We don't know.
I don't know. I struggle with this. I don't think it was her right. I think there are forums and places to make those kind of protests. I also think I'm trying to change my country's rules. So get into politics. You know, there are people that want to do that and spend their whole career, all their lives learning the correct way to do it and to make those changes and have done amazing jobs at that. It is difficult because, you know, other laws have changed because of protesters doing similar things. But I don't know. That's not going to change it. And I just think that it was quite... She'll have stopped people's days. She's not going to change that man's fate. I don't know. I just think it was a waste of time.
I do sort of agree in that the man will, I assume, the authorities aren't just going to go, oh, okay, and just not deport him again.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a... But, I mean, I don't think it's... I think it's quite bold of her to stand up and do this because she does risk possible imprisonment, for example. Mm-hmm. She's being threatened with imprisonment. But I do also agree with you. If she's broken the law, then fine. Yes. Yeah.
Most protesters are absolutely okay with going to prison. I don't know. That's why I said if. Because you said she's been threatened with imprisonment.
It's not her. She's acted in the wrong way, obviously, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I think it's the airline and the airport that have acted in the really wrong way by condoning this sort of behaviour.
What do you mean?
Because they have actually stopped the flight. They should have taken her off the flight.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't understand why they've allowed it to... I don't think they knew what to do, to be honest. I don't think they'll have had a procedure in place that...
I mean, this is a thing that happens more frequently than you would think. This isn't some random idea she's had. This does happen. It's just that the majority of the time, the Facebook live streaming wasn't really a thing until very recently.
Yeah.
And so...
it's very dangerous she screwed up that plane's navigation system. Very selfish.
It wasn't in the air, Josh. So
But it's not about it being. It doesn't have to be in the air to interrupt to. Well, you know.
I mean, actually, it doesn't actually interrupt anything, and the FAA have changed their rules on that. But anyway, back to the point. We're getting very far away from the point. I do sort of agree with you, Josh, that you might have just convinced me, but that it was a bit of a silly thing to do.
He's been
a silly
denied.
Thing to do.
Oh, silly! Oh,
silly! Look, it sounds like it's coming from a really good place, mm-hmm. but what seems like a very immature place. Because it doesn't seem like she's thought it through properly. There are forums, there are ways to make those kind of changes if you want to change them.
But if your argument is that she should get into politics, for example, that does maybe help future asylum seekers, but what can she do other than this to help this one specific man
that's
in
that
this
man's
situation?
Fate. He comes from a country where it's very dangerous to be there, and he was seeking asylum.
Sure.
He was denied, and that sucks. Sometimes you have to accept your lot in life.
Would you accept that? Would you accept your lot?
I'd keep fighting, but I'd go somewhere else and I'd try again. But in terms of that specific, you know, country, he was denied. So you keep going. Like, I don't know. I think, no, of course not. He doesn't have to accept his lot. But if he is, she does. Who is she? Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, that's why people have the right to protest.
Yeah.
I think it's such a sad situation. I mean, someone seeking asylum is obviously desperate. What's wrong is that they've condoned this sort of behaviour on a plane because, okay, she's doing something seemingly positive at the moment, but what happens if it's someone negative kicking up a storm on a plane and they just let that happen again?
Negative
and let them
in
get
what
they want?
Well, because
then
most
they'd probably
of us
be removed.
What if it wasn't an asylum seeker? What if it was somebody else, like a family member that was being deported for a really negative reason? They kicked up a storm and suddenly they were allowed to stay again.
Yeah.
And then it just opens doors.
Completely
agree
with
Lucy.
Yeah,
this looks like another slippery slope fallacy, though. Just, if we keep letting people do this, then this will happen and this will happen. And
No, but you're okay with her making a protest because you agree with what
she's doing something.
She has the right to protest. Anyone has the right to protest.
Well, no, you don't.
And it's not... The fact that it's immature is irrelevant, I think, because she's standing up for what she believes in. She has the right to stand up for what she believes in. And now it's got millions of views. So I think that's very successful.
Yeah, I don't think... Yeah, we're talking about it. Great, we're talking about it because it's a media story. I think the media have done that. She could have disappeared into the absolute abyss. So the media have picked up on this and gone, oh, wow, this is a thing. Let's get it out there. So I don't know if that's her or if that's the media and the way media is.
I saw it on
her,
or someone's Twitter. Someone tweeted it.
Yeah. So Twitter and the media and the way it works right now, that's absolutely great. It's not going to change. Like, I really don't see it changing.
But is it not going to change because the majority of people don't bother doing anything about it? Because they just go, oh, that's the world. Accept your fate. Goodbye. Go to Afghanistan.
No,
if we all stood up on planes, then we probably have something change.
I think fate's a tricky word because there's no such thing as fate. You said that a court has given that decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why she's protesting. She's protesting that court decision.
But there are forums where she can
protest.
In the
wider scheme of things, she's protesting all of them.
There are protests. Listen, if she'd have gone on that plane, made sure there was nothing that she was delaying that was important, got, you know, done it properly, you know, had permission from everyone else on that plane that she was, like, I see it as immature and selfish because of that.
Yeah, it's quite immature, but I think that's irrelevant.
Why is it irrelevant?
Because she's still protesting.
I don't know. I don't.
What else is she supposed to do in that situation? If she's, how can she protest in that moment? That's not immature. Or,
and it is also very possible that she could have delayed his deportation, and then because there's so much stuff on there, and the media will be going to him and finding out why he's being deported, and it could be that he gets a retrial or some kind of help, or lawyers come along because it's such a big story. Lawyers will go, well, I'm willing to work for free for this person, human rights lawyers. And so it very much could have delayed and changed this one single man's fate. And although that seems like not a big deal because there's loads of people who do get deported, it is important that you help individual people, not just get into politics so you can change it in a few years' time or 10 years' time. What could she have done, in your opinion, for this individual man to help him if it wasn't this?
I just think there. Why? Just because this has gone viral at this moment doesn't condone or make okay like the way she's done it. She's obviously protested continuously, and she's been denied. Like you.
Why does it need condoning?
What do you mean? There are other people on that plane. I find it selfish in a sense that there's other people. It's
yes, but if this man's going to go back to his home country and be murdered...
That's been the case the whole time. The whole time he was in there, every time he's gone to court, every time that that's been decided.
And so we're meant to just sit down and do nothing about it?
Oh, well...
That's the way it is.
She's taken this situation and gone, how can I use my voice to try and... get people to start talking about this and thinking about this.
All right, well, I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on this one. And you can let us know what you think on Twitter in our polls at Educating Josh. It's time for the last story of the week. That's Lucy's story.
All right, my headline comes from The Telegraph. Jilly Cooper says she loves being wolf-whistled as she bemoans the Me Too movement, leaving men unable to flirt anymore. Here are the three things that you need to know, Josh. The author, famous for frankly discussing sex and romance in her work, told the Sunday Times magazine that her womanizing character Rupert Campbell Black would be locked up in prison in the age of hashtag MeToo. The 81-year-old is also unperturbed by wolf whistling and catcalling and excused some more raucous male behaviour as a result of a high libido. Miss Cooper explained, "Men on the whole have been very nice to me. I love being wolf whistled. I know men shouldn't jump on everybody, but I do think that men have stronger libidos than women. However, many argue that there's a big difference between flirting and sexual assault, and if you can't tell one from the other, you're doing it very wrong. My question to you, Josh, is the Me Too movement leaving men unable to flirt?"
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
No.
Oh,
men can flirt. Even with Me Too movement. I don't agree with her at all. I mean, she sounds a little bit like she's been conditioned by her generation and her age a little bit. Like, her comments seem, you know, as soon as you say she's 81, that kind of makes sense in my head, unfortunately. It's not ageism. I understand why she thinks like that, and it's a little bit late to educate some people, but...
oh my lord, I'm really, so sorry, Daisy.
Jilly, I really can't hope we don't have an 81 year old demographic.
Yeah, no, I just I can't disagree with her more. I think she likes being wolf whistle, great. Some people like getting hurt during sex. You don't do it until you've asked with consent. Yeah, it's such an old way of thinking.
You can't consent to wolf whistling. Can't walk down the street going,
exactly.
Hey, go on, guys.
Wolf whistling is a form of abuse.
Yes.
What if that person... It is abuse. As far as I'm concerned, wolf whistling at someone is abusing them, whether it's a male to a woman or a woman to a man.
I'm surprised that you think that, but I'm also glad. I thought we were going to really disagree on this one, but I remember when I was like... 14, I took wolf whistling as like the biggest compliment. It's only since I've grown up that I find it really, really threatening.
Creepy and gross. Yeah.
Yeah, just a little.
Just a little. Because
you understand more what it means and what they're
exactly,
saying.
Exactly, yeah, the thoughts behind 14. It. And I cringe at my past behaviour.
Yeah.
But what is the difference between flirting and sexual harassment in your eyes? I just want to know as a group of men.
I think by... There's a mutual connection. Like if you're in a bar... Or I also think there's appropriate places to do it. Rules exist at work and in certain places for a reason. If you're in a bar, you're already in an environment where you can already expect a little bit more that it's okay because you're in a bar.
Okay.
Also, don't assume that. Again, people can be out wanting to have a good time with their mates and not wanting to be approached. If you approach someone and start having a conversation, I can tell within 10 seconds if that girl wants me to be there.
See, like, that's the key point.
There's social cues to do with...
Very obvious social cues.
Not social cues involving consent, but social cues involving interest in, like...
Yes.
Accepting or accepting what you're receiving, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And you can... I don't think it's also wrong. Like, you shouldn't be demonized straight away if you go out, you flirt with someone, and they turn around and go, "Oh, go away, you creep." You don't need to feel instantly like you've done something wrong because... You maybe read it wrong, you've tried, and as long as you don't persist, you stop. That's fine. You're allowed to get it wrong.
Right?
Yeah, don't harass. You've got it wrong. You go, okay, sorry, you back off.
Yeah, I think flirting is about seeing if the other person's interested, and then you can progress. But I do think that the Me Too movement is changing the way that we accept flirting and the way that we view sexual harassment. I think we've become much more sensitive to it, and rightly so. But that's what she's saying. She's saying, well, okay, she's being a little bit more direct about it, saying it's leaving men point blank unable to flirt. But I do think that it's making men more cautious. In fact, there was a study the other day that one in three men between the ages of 18 and 25 are worried that some of their past behaviour will then come out as sexual harassment, when before it was probably seen as flirting.
I think that says a lot.
I remember being grabbed on the ass quite frequently in clubs, but I never anymore.
I wouldn't dream of doing that to someone. Unless I would never grab someone's ass in a club if I didn't know them.
But I think younger men a couple of years ago might have seen that as
that's
okay.
That's sexual harassment. Unless you know them. Like,
it very definitely was like a thing that people in general saw as more okay.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you. I don't think people in general. I think there was the creep at the club and it was okay. Or there was the person that was that way inclined. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think as a whole guys went around like all guys and it was okay to pinch bums. I don't agree with that.
No, I don't agree with that. But I mean, I think if you saw a newspaper headline today saying this famous person slapped this person on the ass today versus seeing that maybe 30 years ago, 20 years ago, it would be a much bigger scandal these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree with you there.
We do live in a more kind of protective world in a very good way, in a very positive way. And I think maybe not only is her age, but her being 81, maybe relevant in
I mean, I went a little bit hard on it because it annoys me. I'm just annoyed with in general.
And also, I think she probably comes from a generation where men were less creepy. I think like the creepier men got more creepy. I think creepier men are creepy now.
I don't know. It used to be okay. I mean, when she was a kid, it wouldn't have been weird if she was 15 and they were 30.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the generation she comes from.
All right, they were more creepy.
Yeah, I think I actually, you know, think quite strongly about this. Not only do I think that it is also in the guy to know when it is okay and isn't okay to flirt. Mm-hmm. I think that, and this isn't equality, I think this is just because I don't think it is equal. I think men are more physical than women in general, so I think that needs to be reflected in things like this when it comes to flirting, when it comes to sexual contact, that men have the onus and have the responsibility to be more cautious. So when people start arguing, oh, well, then women need to do the same thing, but on TV they're being more flirty, I think that's fine. I absolutely don't think that it has to be complete equality in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also coming on the back of a long period of...
I just think it's all about that kind of unspoken consent as well. I'm fine for women. So, for example, I kissed my boyfriend first. I grabbed his face and I kissed him. But I knew that it was okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
you pick up on...
Yeah, had someone
You pick up on body language and you pick up on some verbal cues that indicate that there is consent there. Even though I fully agree that straight, direct consent is like the best you can get.
Yeah.
There are... of course, you have to pick up on social cues.
But I think
it's not always sexy to go... Can I kiss you?
I know.
Well, that's maybe a bit more cute.
you can kiss someone, and if they're like, no, stop, that's okay, because there will have been something that led you to believe that. Unless you were literally just bullishly going in there, didn't know the person, you weren't in a situation that at all alluded to the fact that that could be a possibility, it wouldn't make sense
at all. I think the responsibility is mostly on men to pick up on these cues and go, maybe I have to stop persisting.
It's more on men.
I have to stop persisting.
And also when the women...
The women.
The women. I also think that the hashtag Me Too movement has made women more confident in their nose, mm-hmm. or at least I'd like to believe, in their nose. Yeah. The word no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I was going to say, basically, is it's more, back on the question, has Me Too left men unable to flirt? I think it's more that the Me Too movement's left women less likely to just sort of accept behaviour from men because they kind of feel pressured.
Yeah. And it holds men to account. And what's really nice is women now have to say no less. That's a good thing.
But is it because they're flirting less?
No, it's because they're not pushing it as much. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think
it's positive. I mean, there's always going to be someone that takes it too far, mm-hmm. that, you know, gets angry at a man for simply just seeing if she's interested.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all in all, it's positive. And I'm so glad we had this at the end of the podcast to wrap it up.
Ultimately, if the Me Too movement is reducing harassment, then... That's just a good thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, you can let us know what you think over on Twitter and our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the quickfire round. Josh, MPs say that fake news is crowding out real news. Should social media networks be doing more to filter fake news?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. A woman called 999 to complain that she had mushrooms on her pizza that she didn't order and she'd get her money back. Should we be harder on those who waste police time?
Yes.
Not those who'd put mushrooms on pizza unrequested.
Were they magic?
I like mushrooms on pizza.
Magic mushrooms? Because that's value for money if they're magic mushrooms.
James! Brits on stag do paid homeless man to get groom's name tattooed on his forehead. Is this fun and harmless or shocking and a lack of ethics?
Fun and harmless?
Absolutely
actually,
not.
Actually, more info has come out, but we'll talk about that.
Disabled bar...
Was he aware? Did he agree to it?
He did it for 90 euros.
Oh, then yeah. He's an idiot.
He's desperate.
He's an idiot.
Disabled parking badges.
Oh, wait, a homeless man.
It's
I did not listen
man.
To this story.
Homeless
it's
man.
It's so hard, guys. I don't know. I'm going to go with Luke on this one. Okay. It's whatever Luke says.
Whatever Luke says.
Can we just do that every episode? That'd be nice. Anyway, disabled
no,
parking
badges. Dictatorship, Luke.
We've talked about this.
Let me get through this round,
guys. You can't
guys.
Dictate the world, Luke.
Stop
He's
talking.
The host for a reason.
The edit's going
he
to be
made
impossible.
Us let him be the
Stop
host.
Stop talking to me. Disabled parking badges are going to be extended to cover invisible illnesses, including mental health issues. Is this a good idea?
Hang on, wait, read the question again. Sorry, I'm so hot now. It's
that's
I'm
a hard one to do,
boiling.
Yes or no. You're going to rile people up.
Good, good. Let's do it then.
Disabled parking badges are going to be extended to cover invisible illnesses, including mental health issues. Is this a good idea?
No.
Oh,
okay. Ooh, go on Twitter.
I understand Shit. Both sides of it, but still, that was very decisive.
No.
And finally, Josh, our good story of the week. A man from Bedfordshire has put out a fire on a pier by urinating on it.
That's illegal.
Oh, what? No, it's maybe it is.
It's illegal.
Oh, my God.
Public exposure, maybe?
Send
Pretty
that
sure.
Man
public
to prison.
Exposure.
Also, is there a pier in Bedfordshire?
No, no, he's from Bedfordshire.
Oh, okay.
But the pier was not, it was in Essex. But what?
The most interesting part of the story is that
he peed really far. There's no water in Bedfordshire, Lucy.
He just
was
peed
in Bedfordshire
really far.
And he peed
he
on
was
the
in Bedfordshire.
I'm excited. I'm from Bedfordshire.
And he peed
Bring
on the pier.
To the beach.
Stop talking.
Wait. The peed piper of Bedfordshire.
No, no.
The peed piper of peers.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Educating Josh. Pipe. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Educating Josh, where there'll be polls and content from each of today's topics, and we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Piper.
We'd also want you to send more questions in for next week's quickfire round. Please go subscribe and most importantly leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. This has been Educating Josh, a Studio 71 production. We'll see you next week for another episode of Educating Josh. Goodbye.
Bye.